Let's talk, this will be our last topic on the subject I've been covering on called repentance, is what I've been dealing with this month. And so this being our last midweek together, there'll be one midweek we come together. This is what I'll cover last. And I want to talk to us a little bit about how do we grow ourselves. I have a story. If someone comes and tells you that you have a green tail, that's an opinion. That you have a green tail behind you, that's an opinion. If two people come and say, you have a green tail behind you, that's a conspiracy right there going on. So they're looking, wow, what's going on? But if seven people come and tell you have a green tail, surely you need to start looking. My point is, just because they say it to you, you don't grow because they say it. You have to start looking. And figuring out what's going on. Maybe there is a green tail right there. Does that make sense? So that's my point, is that you have to take some level of responsibility. Even though people tell you stuff, you have to begin looking at that. So how do we grow ourselves? But the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. For they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. It starts being transported to God's house in God's word. That's when change begins to happen. This is a subject I've said many times, many different ways, but I want to say it because I think it's possible to be a Christian that's not repenting, changing, growing. Stuck. And it can be many areas, whether it's with your marriage, whether with your just at work, whether it's being evangelistic, whatever it is. You can get stuck in some place. Does that make sense? In life. And you wonder, what's going on? Well, you've got to start going to God first to get the fuel there, because something happens when you hear from God, you get a conviction, and you turn back and say, I can do that. Does that make sense? But when that's not happening, though you think about it, you got no will. Though you desire, you've got no spiritual energy to thrust you into this mode of change. Does that make sense? So you can feel tired and all that stuff that comes with not growing. So to grow yourself, start from knowing yourself. Question, who are you? Not what are you? You ask most people, who are you? They start saying, well, I go here, I do this work, I'm a father. I didn't ask what you are, I said, who are you? I'm doing this degree, I'm doing that. That is what you do. Who are you? You. We tend to, today's world, we describe ourselves by the things we do. And I keep saying, that's not who you are. That's what you do. Who are you? I'm a manager. I do this. I'm that. I'm like, oh, okay. But who are you? If we whittled away everything you do, who are you? Your emotions, your mindset, your character makeup. What drives you when all that is whittled away? It's a good question. If you can answer that well, it'll help you. It'll help you to figure out, I'm argumentative, I'm stubborn, I'm humble, I'm afraid, I'm anxious, I tend not to trust easily, I trust easily, I am emotional, I'm stoic, all that begins to come out. We're afraid to deal with that internal being because we're kind of socialized to believe that guy is not nice. But in the grace of God, he can deal with everything. Amen. So in God's house, that can be dealt with. So don't pile it away and just push it away. You got to bring it in the forefront of God so that change begins to happen. Change begins to take place. If you don't do that, you're running away. So number one, respond to God. All that I say so that we can begin to respond to God. I say all that to say, okay, well, now we can respond to God now. So don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. Weeds are amazing. the weather hasn't come out yet. They were growing on my lawn. I could see weeds. They're like, there's a weed, there's a weed. Chloe came, they said, here's one weed over there. I said, okay, I'm going to deal with that. I didn't even know it was a weed. I thought it was a flower. It is possible that you got things that you think are flowers in your life, but they're weeds. They need to go. Stuff that's not good. The repentance needs to happen. It says, harvest a crop of weeds. All he'll have to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God. So you're planting, but you're not just planting because everybody's planting. You're planting in response to God. So how does that happen? Definitely you've been checking in the Word of God, and you're trying to figure out what God is saying in your heart, and you're not afraid to deal with how you feel emotionally and all that stuff, and so you're growing. Does that make sense? So you're growing as a person. You're hearing God. It's exciting when you're growing. You love God. You want to tell people about God when God is doing stuff for you. One of the reasons why it can be very hard to be evangelistic is nothing is happening in terms of growth internally. There's a plateau that we've reached. We don't hear God. We've stemmed growth. Instead, we hold on our length of Christianity. And that is not all. Growth happens all the time. I woke up the other day about midnight and I wasn't sleeping. I said, I'm going to study out being a father. And I said, I don't want to argue with my children. I want to help them to do great. And I studied out that and I said, two things, don't embitter them or exasperate them. And the next day I woke up, I said, how did I do? I looked back and I said, 2 days, I've not had an argument with them. That's good. But I had to correct them still, but no argument. In the past, there would be a bit of tension. I said, hold, what? Each time this happens, there's a tension happening. That was something I had to work on myself. Amen. Same people, same God, but one person had to move. That was me. That's my point to you. You've got to respond for your planting based on what God is doing. But sometimes we're not disturbed enough, discouraged enough. I don't want to use that word. Maybe indignant enough to wake up and say, I got to do something about these things because I'm just stuck. So it says, respond to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him. That is the Spirit of God doing the growth work in you. The Bible says that it even intercedes for stuff you don't know you need. And then it says, how is the crop of real life, eternal life? That it's real, it's fun, it's exciting. It's you experiencing God. Hear me out. It's easy to go into a rule life and just do activity and never experience God. The problem with that is you never touch anybody's life. It's just a rule thing. And that's not because God put that on you. It's because maybe how you tackle life. You're afraid to venture out a little bit in the spirit of experiencing God. But you got to come. And you need friends that can help you with that. Trusted friends that can help you grow and get you in the Word of God. Again, if you're saying there's a tail, and some of them say the green tail, if you remember my beginning story, you better look. There might be a green tail. Does that make sense? When we are no longer able to change a situation, we are challenged to change ourselves. Let's face it, we all have situations that we're not able to change right now. Am I right? There's a situation in your workplace you cannot change. There's a situation in your home you cannot change. There's even a situation just in family issues that you cannot change, or friends. You got to change yourself. It's a very good book to read. He was in the Nazi. He was held with the Nazis, and he saw his family die. This is Viktor Frankl, and he realized that some people died way quicker as they got to the table, and then realized he cannot change that. But he can change, and he began to dream about what he could do with his life. And he went on the table many times, but he said, you know, if God gives me my life, I'll do something with it. It's a great book to read. So it's important you ask yourself, what is it that needs to change? See, we are the ones that need to grow. The situation will not change. We grow. Then the situation becomes smaller, but we grow because God is having an impact on us. Let's go here. Comparison kills our growth. Galatians 6:4. Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. You know, if you really think about it, we can look at ourselves and feel like we're not good because so-and-so is doing way better than us. And our education system does that. The campus guys, you go to school and a guy's just doing great and you're like, what about me? What's wrong with me? The system tells you you're not very good, but that's the system. So you got to ask yourself, am I being my best? Am I really changing? Am I aiming at something I'm driving at? Am I working at it? Not just to beat the guy next door, because that's a terrible way of living. If you beat the guy next door, is that the best you can be? What if the guy next door was doing a D, so you got a C? Is that all you're going to do? So you don't want to live like that. You want to find what God wants you to have to do in your life. And I think we can do like that as a society. We can sit and look at each other, but they're not doing as well as they used to. So we're okay. If they're not bringing visitors, then we're okay. And all that begins to become our way of living. And we compare each other, not saying, I just need to glorify God. Does that make sense? Then we compare our children. How come the children turned became Christians? And we get discouraged instead of focusing on God. We get bitter, resentful because this happened, that happened. I said, no, this is God's working. So stay with God. Don't stay with the comparison story. And we go on and on and on. And before we know it, there's no God. There's all comparison. And so we don't grow because we feel disenfranchised, as though an entitlement was taken from us. We feel like something is missing, but we feel that because we compare. So we don't grow, and we get stuck with our comparison, and we get angry and bitter. That's what comparison just breeds. But we don't grow and say, God, show us what we can do. And we have things outside us that then begin to determine our joy, not God. And the challenge with that is, how can we then be filled by God's grace and love and then impact people when we let the outside take charge of everything? Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of the job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself with someone else. Be the change you want to see in this world. What do you want to see happen in this world? What do you want to see happen in your home? What do you want to see happen at your workplace? What do you want to see happen in your family group? See, if you think like that, and begin to embrace that responsibility and not sit on the critic's bench or the pundit's bench based on statistics and all that stuff and going back and forth and doing all that and getting on. That's not where we want to go. We want to say, God, you know that we can sort this out, but we need to be focused on you. What is that change you're looking for? You know, church, one person, you can make a change in this church. That's right. Just by your faith and how you handle stuff. So don't sit around and say, this church, that church. When I hear people say, the church has no love, I say, hold on, you're the church. I'm part of it. Help me love you like you want to be loved. Amen. I say, well, what other church? Did you say this church? Which church? Me? You? We need to stop cheating ourselves out of a blessing of God by not taking responsibility of what we need to see happen, and instead turn around and start on the sidelines and point like referees. Get involved. Let's make it happen. Let's get change going. It can. It's not going to happen overnight, but we need you going. That's what God has put on your heart. He wants you to grow in that area. and help us grow. Does that make sense? It's amazing when God puts it on your heart and He wants you to change something. The next thing is you have fear. You're afraid. What will happen? What if I tell people and it doesn't go great? What if I come across as a critic? Well, you learn how to speak so that you don't come across as a critic. You come and say it anyway. I mean, I've had some good feedback. I have people come to my house, say, we're thinking this, we're thinking that. And I'm like, great, that's great stuff. We came up with this announcement, the way we're doing it. Somebody came to my house and said, you know, we could do this different, we could do that different. I said, I'm glad to hear that stuff. It's the body of Christ. It's not mine. This is not my church. This is God's church. I'm a servant. So don't get all weird about it. Just let's talk and let's make it happen. Does that make sense? Let's keep talking and make it happen. That's how you do it, because it's the body of Christ. We're talking about stuff, and then we begin to make changes. So what is the change you want to see happen in your family group? You've got to make it happen. What is the change you want to see in your small area that God has put you, or in your big area? Make it happen. Take down your walls. Church, we got walls around us. Some of us don't talk to anybody else but talk to the same people all the time. That's your wall. It's called a clique. You hang with the same fellas. People are like you, think like you, go to the same school, or have the same background, have the same, all kind of stuff. And we get all caught up in this bubble of ours. So we don't want to talk to people like us or don't think like us. And in America, even our color may be affected sometimes. Or what background and what all that stuff. And that can get in the way of what God is trying to do. So you got that. That's one wall, right? That can be a wall you build. Does that make sense? There's another wall we build. Wall of trust. We don't have any trust. We have trust, so we don't trust. So we just build a wall. I don't trust Darius. No, I love you, brother. No problem. I mean, and you build up walls and walls and walls. The problem of walls is that people can't reach you. Neither can you reach out to others. Because you put up a wall. And these walls are emotional. Based on historical realities. I want to acknowledge that. Realities. This happened to you, so it's a reality. It's not some fake story. But if we're going to grow as a church in the five things we're trying to develop and move forward, we've got to bring down the walls. You've got to bring down the walls of even race. You're going to bring that down, that wall, so you can talk to any other person that doesn't look like you. You're going to bring down the walls of money. Because money has walls. You're going to bring down the walls of background issues. This is my background, this is my background, so I can't do this. But you can grow. You can change. The Spirit of God can change that. Amen. I've been like this for the last 10 years. Well, God is bigger than 10 years. I've been like this for the last 50 years. Well, God can change you in 50s. To understand that delicate truth about God, and that's what the Bible talks about Abraham. Why did, when Abraham believed that God could give him, his descendants would be as many as the sun seashore, he believed that, and that's all he needed to believe. So you got to get in that contract with God, or covenant with God, that if he says it, you want to believe that, and start operating in that world. That's the difference of what happens to us. So there are walls. Anyone who loves to quarrel loves sin. Anyone who trusts in high walls invites disaster. We can be very logical, not faithful. We discuss things in a very logical way. Based on this, this, and we quote different documents. But we don't quote the Bible. We quote different documents. But we don't quote the Bible. And we like to argue. We get held back. In high school, my favorite club was debate. And I had my notes and my pen ready. And I waited for a word. You said one word and I got you another one. I said, okay, let's get him. Let's go for him. He says it on your... sat down, waited for you again. It was fun. But I thought, when I think about it, I said, you know, was fun scoring there, but was just argumentative. Mental argumentative. It is, you know, I'm going to get him. I'm coming. Your brain goes on overdrive. Sometimes when I'm joking with my wife and I get in that mode, she says, you're arguing around and play. Because anything she says, I have an answer. I'm coming. She says, you got to stop it. And I have to remember, I think I put on my debate brain a little bit. Need to remove that. And just listen. Because sometimes I'm not just wanting to listen. I'm just having a good... I'm joking, but I'm not joking. She tells me that. Are you joking or are you not joking? What's going on there? You know what I'm talking about? We can get in that mindset, that mentality, and never getting serious about things, so nothing happens. But we are almost arguing and quarreling. Nothing gets forward. Anyone who trusts in high walls invites disaster. We got to trust in God, not in things we're doing. So don't get me wrong at all in what I'm talking about. For you to grow, you have to put yourself in the hands of God. That's a tough thing for most people. Even though you've been a Christian a long time, it can be tough to put yourself in the hands of God. Because you have a path of thinking, a mindset, the way you think. They say we repeat 90% of our thoughts every day. What you thought about yesterday is going to be repeated today, 90%. And that's why you tend to get the same results. Because you're not changing your paradigm totally. So you keep going on the same direction. It takes reflection. Deepening of self with the word of God and friends that would show, yes, there's a green tail, if you remember my story again. A green tail. And you may check this time, because the seventh time you might want to check that green tail and begin to say, this change needs to happen. I know for myself, some of the things I have been told about, somebody would say something to me and I said, really? I don't think so. Then 2 years later, I said, oh my goodness, it hit me like a ton of bricks. This was true. 2 years later. Now, I don't feel bad. I thank God that I found it eventually. Amen. I don't feel sad. It took me 2 years. Stop being in worldly sorrow. Come to godly sorrow. Thank God that you found out anyway. Amen. You are confined only by the walls you build yourself. That's the truth. Nobody's holding you back other than yourself. Now, given, some of us have bigger bridges to cross and bigger mountains to climb than others. But God has given you, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He'll provide a way out. So you got to find God's way out of that situation. Follow God's Spirit. Amen? Ephesians talks about the word of God is the word of God is the spirit is the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Following that, in Galatians 5 talks about the fruits of the Spirit and talks about all that joy, kindness, and then it says there's no formula with that, but that you have to keep in step with the Spirit, otherwise we provoke and get considered with one another. So we go that direction. So now with that background story of the Word of God being the sword of the Spirit and understanding how that works, and then being in step with the Spirit, and there's no formula, it then calls for you to be cognizant of what's going on in your life on a regular basis. But let's face it, we are automated. I mean, how many of us today woke up and put a GPS on in your car? Okay, few of us. Many of us go to work. You're automated. You know where it is, right? I'm doing that now. I can get around without my GPS. I can get around. I'm like, okay, where is that? That direction, I'm going that way. But here's what happens. I automate it in my head, and I sit in the car, I'm going, and sometimes I'm like, did I already get here? Because I was not in the car. I was going somewhere with my brain. I just check, green. My brain just knows, stop, the car in front, red light, stop, back off, distance. I keep the same distance all along. I always drive with the third car in front of me. I'm thinking, okay, that's a brake on. Pull back a little bit. But you're not paying attention to what is going on here and now. To follow the Spirit, you got to learn to be here and now. What's going on? Immerse yourself. It's a hard thing to listen to the Spirit sometimes because you're distracted with stuff everywhere, every place. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. So since we are living by the Spirit, are you living by the Spirit or are you living by your emotional desires? Are you at home with the flesh or are you at home with the Spirit? What guides your thinking? You know you're being led by the Spirit when you want to check out what the Bible says. What does it say? You want to check that out. I mean, what is the easiest thing we do today? We Google. I love Google. No issues with Google. It's my teacher now. So if you give me a hard word, I go on Google. I say, okay, what does that word mean? Check and say, okay, good. But on a spiritual dynamics side of life, you've got to check the Bible and ask yourself, am I facing north, spiritually speaking? And you may say, is it this important to know? Yes, it is, because your spiritual life touches everything. Vice versa, if you allow certain things to come in your life, they begin to interrupt. Is there like a virus? They go everywhere in your life. If you have a situation at work that you're not dealing with, it's going to start affecting everything else you touch. We don't have two hearts. You know that, right? You have one heart. If I'm not doing well with my wife, I start having all kinds of issues with people that have nothing to do with it. I get a bit shot with people at the mall. I get a bit shot with my driving. And you're like, where did that come from? Because I'm not dealing with something in me. And yet, it's easy to keep stuff away, but it keeps coming. And some stuff will not go away overnight because it's a character thing. So what does that mean? You need a place to speak, to pray, to read, and have someone hold you accountable and walk with that character. But some things need to change right here now and be different how it goes forward. And that is, get the help you need and start making those changes. But for us to really turn around and really begin to have healthy, moving church, we got to take responsibility for personal growth and reach out for people to help us. Does that make sense? Now, some of us, people reach out and all you say is, I'll pray for you. Really? You better read James. Talk something, say something about that. And some of us, sometimes somebody's just sharing and we're quick to give an answer. They were just sharing. They didn't want an answer. They were just sharing. We're not listening. We are like the guy, the doctor who hasn't had it says, okay, yeah, I had an experience. I think it was last year I went to one of the doctors. And so when I arrived, there was, of course, the PA that took my information. The doctor walked in and says, I think you're suffering from this. I said, hold on. I haven't told you yet. He says, I already read. I said, no, but you haven't heard from me. Hold on, I got to tell you how I'm feeling. Connect with my emotions a little bit here. And then she cooled down and says, oh, I think maybe there's nothing there. I said, that's it. That's my point. And sometimes we're doing that to each other. So people closed down because they were starting to talk. And bam, 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 bam. And they're like, oh, I'm not sure I want to talk again. Follow the Spirit. Don't go in a conversation and say, I'm going to tell them this and they better believe it. If they don't listen, I will not let them say a word. You've got to be open that there might be a different opinion. You can come to a discussion saying, I'm going to have this conversation with Blake and if he doesn't like it, I'm going to tell him anyway. No, he has a different opinion. And that creates conflict because we're not letting the Spirit lead us. We're set in our minds. We're not hearing here and now. What did you say? How was it said? And what was going on? We have this set mind. It's got to be this way. What about, how does this person feel? What's going on here? What's happening? Okay, maybe we need to rethink this a little bit. To look at this differently. Am I making sense now? When you hear the Spirit, you're there. You're here now. You got to look at it differently. What's going on? We got to be different. What's happening? We live by the Spirit. Let us follow the Spirit, leading every part of our life. So that is what it means. You begin to be transported in a way that it's very flexible. You're hearing different things. You're not just set. I can understand the man is set and other stuff, but you can pray and fast and God can change different things. If we are led by the Spirit, then we're not limited. We're not limited because God is powerful. We're not limited because He reveals things in us and reveals things in people and helps us to adjust accordingly. So we are led by that, but we are led by that because we pray, we are in the Word, and we think in that way. We're in Philippians 4:8, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is excellent, we think like that. We're in step with the Spirit. We're not in step with emotion. We hear these things. We move well. So because of that, we're directed by the Spirit. So it's not a wishful just thinking, but we're really connecting towards what God is saying. And yet, in a world that's so busy, we tend to just stay tuned to what we need to accomplish today. So our life is then things to do that needs to be done instead of responding to the Spirit. It occurred to me that I did that a lot when I lived in Nairobi. It's a congested city. To get anywhere, you cannot be a passive driver. You have to be aggressive. And you gun the car. It's almost, I'm coming. It's let's see who blinks first. And you're dodging. Sometimes there are no lines on the highway, 3 lanes or 4 lanes. But we're all doing this and we know what we're doing. And nobody's touching the other person. And it's pretty good. I mean, if you know what you're doing, but you're a test up. Then I moved to another city that was so calm, and I thought to myself, is something wrong? Because I moved to Zambia, and it was so calm, and I said, something is wrong. I'm way peaceful. No, something is wrong with this city. What's wrong with you guys? It took time for me to realize I was addicted to the... I couldn't just take... I came to the four-way drive. There was never a policeman. Everybody stopped. They were very courteous, one at a time. Take your time. Sometimes the guy stopped to buy a newspaper. No honking. You just wait. He buys a newspaper and you keep going. And I said, this is nice. But for a while, I said, what's wrong with everyone? Why are you too slow around here? Get going. What's wrong with you? Not paying attention to what's going on right there. It was an amazing place for me because after about 18 years in church, big church and all that, I began to ask myself, do I listen to God? Don't get me wrong, the big church was growing, but that is not the sign of me hearing God. So that's where we tend to determine, oh, because it's going great, then God is here. No, you got to be really honest with yourself. God will do what He wants to do anyway. But you've got to pay attention to what is God saying to you. So, let us not become conceited, because sometimes we become conceited about I'm better, I'm this, I'm that. It's God doing His thing. Provoking. Let's not do that. One another. Or be jealous of one another. There's no point. You've got to let it go and God will work it out. God will work it out. God will really work it out. It doesn't matter what it is. It can be children. It can be a spouse. It can be if you're single looking for someone to get married to, God will work it out. Can be anything. Job, but money issues. God will work it out. But you got to trust Him. There's no need to be jealous of one another. Learning is like growing upstream. If you stop, you go backwards. So I know I'm not going to be talking about repentance for the next few months because I think that, well, we got to move on to other things. But it doesn't mean you stop rowing the boat of growth. You got to grow. And I hope you don't get angry, bitter when stuff comes your way. And I hope that today I spoke to you and you had God. You didn't hear me. You didn't get upset with the stuff I talked about. And I got into all kind of corners. But I hope that you had God. You didn't hear me. I'm just a messenger. So I hope that you can begin to make changes in your heart, in your attitude, in how you look at things. But here's the truth. You cannot stop growing. Now, I don't think we grow all the time, but there's always a season of growth. Amen? There's a time you're growing, there's a time you're, you know, adjusting that growth, growing, adjusting the growth. So I pray that you had a great time. God bless you.